Yeah, we're going to get started. So my name is Prerna Gupta. I'm the CEO of a company called Kush. Can you guys hear me? Is this thing working louder? All right. Okay. I'm a CEO of Kush. Kush is a company that develops intelligent music applications. And what that means is we use artificial intelligence to help people make music. And for our products, I've used YouTube. And so for my company, we develop mobile applications, music apps for the iPhone and coming soon to Android. And I've used viral videos primarily to market my product. So I wanted to basically tell you about what I've learned about how to market a product through viral videos and how to make videos that go viral. So the first thing that I wanted to say is, as I said, my company develops intelligent music applications. And our company is built off of the belief that humans are fundamentally creative, that creativity is something that's innate to all humans, but that in the modern world, most of us have forgotten this. I think most of us at a young age kind of, we sort of bifurcate into two groups, with majority of the people being the non-creative types who maybe were good at math or, maybe were good at certain types of things in school, but we're not artistic, we're not musical, we're not creative. And then there's a smaller group of people who are considered by society to be creative, and maybe they go off and make creativity part of their professional lives, and the rest of us just kind of forget about it. I believe that this is incorrect, that every single one of us has the ability to be creative. And so my company is using technology to bring that back into the modern world and give that back to people in their daily lives. The reason I brought this up is because I think this point is also extremely important if you are trying to make viral videos and trying to use videos to promote your product or to promote your message, whatever it is. So if you don't take anything else away from my presentation today, just remember this point, that you are creative yourself. And if you just use that creativity to come up with a really cool concept or something really original for a viral video, you'll be able to be successful. So I'll give you a little background on myself and how I learned about this space. I founded my company back in May of 2009, and we launched our first iPhone app, La-Di-Da, in October of that year. When we launched, it was basically my job. I was the CEO. Everyone else in the company was technical. Not that they're not creative, they are, but it was my job to basically be the marketing person for the company. And so I started to think about, how am I going to get the word out for my app? By October... All right, so October 2009, there are already hundreds of thousands of apps in the App Store, so it's not enough to just, put out a really cool app and stick it up in the App Store and hope that people are going to find out about it. By this time, you already had to do something, use some tricks, get the word out about your app. It's not going to grow on its own. So I was convinced that YouTube and videos, viral videos in particular, would be the right way to get the message out for my product. There were a couple of reasons for this. One was, the type of product that it was. It's La-Di-Da. It's a reverse karaoke app. All right. When you say the words reverse karaoke, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to anyone. It sounds kind of cool, but it's hard to describe what this thing does if you just say it's reverse karaoke. So I felt that being able to demonstrate what the app does through a video, through sound, and through video would be a much more compelling way of advertising the product than, say, something like a banner ad or PR. The second thing is, we were a bootstrap startup. We didn't have a ton of money, and it felt to me that rather than going out and buying, banner ad space or doing essentially expensive advertising, that it'd be much more cost-effective to do viral videos. Now, the problem was, anyone that I asked about this said that, viral videos are all luck. You can't really control it. You can put something up that's funny, and, it's basically you have almost no chance of it going viral, and some people get lucky. But I really became obsessed with the idea of marketing my product through viral videos, and I wasn't satisfied with that answer. I felt that there have to be some things that you can do to control it. So basically, I became a YouTube stalker. I just spent countless days and hours on YouTube observing what was happening on a daily basis. I would look to see which videos were going viral, who were the people that were creating these videos, and what were the characteristics of these videos. Were there things, were there patterns? Were there certain elements in each of the videos that you could see over and over? And the answer was yes. I started to see that there were certain characteristics, which I call viral building blocks, that, you know, that were prevalent in many of the videos that went viral every day. So, you know, in the end, so it, you know, it took me a while, obviously, to figure this out, and it took me a while to figure out the first few videos that we did, you know, got a few hundred thousand views, but eventually it started to grow, and we've gotten to a point now where today, the videos that we've produced for our products have over 180 million views. When I first, you know, wrote the info for this presentation, it was 100 million. And it's actually continued to grow since then, so it's 180 million today. And that has had a direct impact on the downloads of our apps. We've had over 11 million downloads of our apps from these views. Now, this is not to say, you know, they're not, viral videos is not the only thing that we did to promote our products. We've also done, you know, been fortunate to get a lot of PR for our apps. And we've done a few things in the App Store. There are certain types of marketing that you can do to promote your app within other apps, et cetera, et cetera. But all of those things combined have been minuscule compared to, you know, the video views and the impact that the videos have had on our marketing. And the most important point here is that it's viral marketing that through YouTube that led our company to profitability. So what makes viral video marketing so effective? One of the main things is, as I said, it's actually cheaper. It's cheaper than other forms of marketing. And the reason is you're not paying per view. You have a fixed cost up front. That cost might be zero in terms of the amount of dollars you pay. You're certainly going to, you know, pay something for your time to produce the video. But it's relatively small. And once the video goes viral, it doesn't matter if you have 1,000 views or 50 million views, you've still paid the same amount. So it's an extremely cost-effective way of marketing your product. The second is it's persistent. So, you know, if you do a campaign of banner ads, you're going to do it for a few days, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, and then it goes away. If you get an article in the New York Times or TechCrunch, it's there for a day, people read it, maybe there's some stragglers on day two, and then it disappears. It's still there, but no one finds out about it, no one cares about it. A viral video goes live. You're going to get your biggest spurt in the first week when it first goes viral, but it's going to keep growing. We have videos that we released over a year ago, and they're still getting millions of views. So there's an extremely long tail with viral videos, and you can amass millions of views for several years after your video goes viral. And the third point is the users that you get from these videos are going to be of a higher quality than users that you're going to get from traditional advertising. And this is actually something that we've started to test. We've started to follow the users who come in through our videos and see how they behave inside our apps. And we found that they are more engaged, they spend more time inside the app, and they actually spend more money inside the app too. And we believe the reason for this is that, you know, when you've shown someone a video of your product, they've really had, you have the ability to essentially tell them the best parts about it, how it should be used, and what's exciting about it. And so they're coming in with a certain perception of your product and an understanding of how to use it, and that makes them better users for you in the long run. So these are the six viral building blocks that I found in viral videos. Now, this is not to say that these are the only six things that work, obviously, but these are the six elements that you'll find over and over and over again in videos that go viral. The first is music. Music is an integral part of YouTube. It's something that's been very important to YouTube since its inception. And you find it used in a variety of ways in viral videos. There are some people who will make original music. There are people who will do cover songs. Cover songs is a very popular form of, you know, viral video. There are people who will use music for humor. There are people who will take popular music and use it for parody. So there are lots of different ways to use music, but it's an important element and something that nowadays is a really easy thing to integrate into your videos and just makes it more engaging from the get-go. Second element is surprise. So, you know, this is, you see many videos where something shocking or something unexpected happens. It's a very sort of fundamental human response that really gets people into your video and, more importantly, gets them to pass it around. The third element is cuteness. It's sort of the canonical example of viral videos, you know, puppies and kittens doing funny things. And there's a reason for that. It's because people respond to that. Everyone loves puppies and kittens. So if you have cute animals around or you have access to them, use them. Put them in your video. Find a way to integrate them. It'll work. The fourth is boobs. I won't elaborate on this too much, but it's, you know, again, if you're not shy, it works. There, you know, humans respond to these things, both men and women, and if you can find a way to integrate that into your video, it might be something that you should consider. The fifth is humor, and this is an obvious point. You know, people like to laugh. There are two types of humor that I think are most prevalent on YouTube. One is parody. So parody is a really successful form of humor, and it's something that goes viral. And it generally tends to take the form of, you know, parodying someone famous, a celebrity, a music star, or, you know, an actress, or a politician, and, you know, somehow at the expense of that celebrity, making a message about, you know, either something political or not necessarily political. This is, and I'll show you what I mean in some of the videos that we watch later. But parody is extremely effective, and it's something that, what's interesting about parody is that if you focus on parody as one of your ways of getting a message across, it's a formula that you can use again and again and again. If you have a certain formula, you know, you latch on to a current event and you find a way to parody it, every week there's something new that you can parody. So it's a great way of kind of building momentum on your channel. The second form of humor that's very popular is absurdity. Basically just doing something completely off the cuff and completely unexpected in a humorous way. The sixth thing is celebrity, and you know, there are a couple of ways here too. One obviously is if you have access to celebrity and can get a celebrity in your video and get them to tweet it out, et cetera, that's awesome. Most of us don't have access to that. But the second thing is just referencing celebrity, and this, in a sense, this goes hand in hand with parody. The most effective way of doing this is parodying a celebrity. So you're referencing them, you're essentially referencing something that every single person, you know, who's going to see the video knows about. And by making fun of them, you're kind of tapping into some, you know, something that most of us think about on a regular basis. So creating a viral video and advertising your product inside your video are really two different things. And there's a trade-off oftentimes between how viral your video can be and how effectively or how much time you can spend demoing or describing your product in your video. Okay? The question is, how do you find that balance? Because there's no point of, if your goal here is, if you know, if you have an app or a website or something, some message that you're trying to get across, you know, there's no point of it going viral if the people watching that video aren't getting that message. But at the same time, if you have a product and all you're doing is advertising your product in your video, odds are it's not going to go viral. Sometimes it will, but it's really, really hard to just have an advertising video go viral. So the key is, how do you find that balance? So, you know, one way of doing it would be you could make a video super viral, you know, have all six of the viral building blocks, and not mention anything about your product at all, and just have it sitting on a desk. Let's say, you know, you're trying to sell a new cereal, and you show someone in the video eating the cereal. What I've found, and I've tried different variations of this, but what I've found is that product placements in and of themselves are almost worthless. If you just show a picture of your product somewhere in the video and don't explain what it is and don't talk about it or demo it or describe it, no one's going to pay attention, and those video views are basically worthless to you. So demos and descriptions are really, really important. But as I said, you know, if you spend the entire video just talking about your product, odds are it's not going to go viral. So what I've found to be the best balance here is to focus the main body of the video on virality. Make it as viral as you possibly can. Make it a funny, interesting, you know, cute video, and don't compromise the virality of the video just to get a product demo in there. But use the post roll. The post roll is after the video is done, you know, you can come on there for 20, 30 seconds as long as you want. Come on there in character and talk about your product. Demo your product. So you've got the attention of the people who loved your video enough to watch it all the way through, and talk to them. Use that opportunity to tell them about your product. And don't forget to link to your product in the description of the video. And very prominently, put it at the very top. So for the people who watch the demo, they know where to find it. This, in my experience, has been by far the most effective way of getting to millions of people and getting those people to understand what your product is and go get it. All right, so with that, we're gonna watch some viral videos. Are all videos that that I have produced or co-produced with other people to advertise our products. So these are all from my own experience. And what I wanted to do is kind of take you through each of the videos. Different videos have had different numbers of views and have varied level of success. But I wanted to kind of show you the video and then talk about the viral characteristics and how they applied in each video. So this first one is our CTO, Parag Chordia, who is a professor at Georgia Tech. And this is him demoing our app, La-Di-Da, the reverse karaoke app, at a conference. All right, so that's video one. We call it Singing Badly in Public, and it's had 200,000 views. So this is, you know, a moderately viral video. So just to put this in context, if you put up a video yourself on YouTube and it doesn't have any virality at all, it's probably going to get around somewhere between 100 to 300 views on its own. So getting to 200,000 views is pretty hard, and you know, so this means that it did go viral to a small extent. So So what are the things here that you know, made it go viral? Obviously, there's absurdity. There's music, and there's some shock when, you know, when it goes from the before and after, and you know, the software does its thing and turns this bad singing into something good. There's something interesting there that surprises people. All right. Next video. This is Mishka. She's a dog on YouTube that likes to talk. Sorry, we're going to have to watch this ad. I had to reload it. Give me just a second. All right. All right, so this video has 8.7 million views. As you can see, this was much more viral than the singing badly. And so the viral building blocks, of course, there's music, there's shock, there's humor, and there's cuteness. There's a really, really cute dog and a cute kid that comes on at the end. The other thing here is there's also a little bit of celebrity going on. So Mishka is already a pretty famous dog on YouTube. She has some videos that have several million views of her talking and saying, "I love you," when her owner says, "I love you." So I actually saw some videos of Mishka, and we had kind of played around with La-Di-Da, with howling dogs, and knew that it did this kind of cool thing when dogs howl into it. So I contacted Mishka's owner, Matt Gardea, and asked him if he'd be interested in kind of doing a collaboration where, you know, he used La-Di-Da in the video and we created something like this together. And he got excited about it, and so we decided to do this. What's really awesome about this video is that it hits this sweet spot where we're demoing the product, you know, all the way through the video, essentially, and it hasn't compromised the virality. In fact, it's enhanced it. So this is the sort of thing that if you can figure out a way to have this sort of combination, you know, that's gold. And it doesn't always work. I mean, it depends on what your product is. Ours just happens, you know, lends itself well to this sort of thing, and there happens to be a famous dog on YouTube that does this. And so it worked, and it was really great. So if you can figure out a way to do it, do it. It doesn't always have to be that way, as I'll show you. This is Annoying Orange, and this is going to be the last video in which there's actually some mention or demo of the product inside the video itself. All right, so this video has 17.8 million views. And this was done by a guy named Dane Bodenheimer, who has, at this stage, become quite famous for his Annoying Orange series. When we first worked with him, it was kind of in the early days, so he was just kind of starting to do these videos, and they were starting to get famous. And again, I approached him to see if he wanted to do a collaboration and do something with La-Di-Da. What's interesting about this video, you can obviously see the viral building blocks here. You know, there is a musical component, there's absurdity, and you know, there's shock at Orange and all the weird things that he does. But the thing that I wanted to point out here is that this is really low budget. Dane just, you know, literally just buys an orange from the grocery store, puts it on his kitchen counter. You know, we lent him an old iPhone to do the shoot with, and he just uses some animation tricks to superimpose his mouth on an orange. So this is all his creativity, right? It's just thinking about how can you do something that's different, that hasn't been done, and that's kind of funny and will sort of appeal to people in a different sort of way. So you can, you know, you don't have to put in, that's the whole point. You don't have to put in thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars making videos that appeal to people. You just have to spend a little bit of time and come up with an idea that works. In this one, you know, we did have the demo in the video, but as you noticed, it was a much smaller portion of the video. It was something that we just kind of worked into it. But really, the virality comes from all the other elements and from the humor and absurdity in the video. Okay, so for this one, we're actually going to switch to a different one of our apps. This is a different app called Songify, and this is a video done by the Gregory Brothers. So this video has 15.6 million views, and this was done in July of 2011. So I actually put this one after the Annoying Orange video because, you know, in the end, this will probably have more views than the Annoying Orange video did. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Gregory Brothers, the folks who did this video. They are a band on YouTube that has become quite famous for basically doing this, for taking other, you know, clips of other videos, either from the news or other videos that go viral. In this example, the original video of this girl making her eHarmony profile video went viral itself. And they took that and they redid it and turned it into a song. So they have this series called Songify This, and you know, many of their videos end up getting several million views. And we actually partnered with them to create an app called Songify that turned speech into music. So it was the app that Michael Gregory demoed at the end of the video. You talk and it'll turn whatever you say into a song. This was the video that the Gregory Brothers did at the launch, when we launched our app. And you know, obviously this has several of the viral building blocks. It's got music, it's got humor, it's got cats, it's got absurdity, it's got celebrity, in the sense that the Gregory Brothers themselves are, you know, growing celebrities. But what's interesting about the way that they did this, again, is that they don't talk about the app itself during the video at all. And they didn't, you know, use the app. You know, this is something that they're musicians. They create the music themselves using, you know, different types of software. So they didn't, there's no mention of the app or demo of the app, you know, within the video. And as you saw, Michael Gregory comes on and does a really brief demo at the end that just piques people's interest. And then he links to a longer video about the app just at the end. And there's a link to download Songify here in the post roll. This was an extremely effective marketing tool for our app Songify. When we launched Songify on July 7th of 2011, 4 days later, it became the number one free app in the App Store. It was the number one app in the world for several days after this video launched. Now, granted, we had some PR, and you know that helped us, you know, get the ball rolling for the app. But I will just tell you, we've had PR for La-Di-Da, we've had PR for a lot of stuff, and PR does not get you to the number one spot. It was this video, more than anything else, that got us there. It was extremely, extremely effective. Okay, so for this is the last video that we're going to look at today, and this one goes back to La-Di-Da. This is the biggest video that we've had, 48 million views. Oh, advertisement. All right. Is the sound on? Oh. All right. Here, let me just start it over. All right, so as I said, this video has 48 million views. It was launched in August of 2010, and it's still growing. It still gets, you know, several hundred thousand views a day. So this has been, we've had a few videos that have, you know, gotten to around the 20 million views mark. This one's just been a monster for us, and it's been awesome. You know, obviously you can see there, I think it has basically all of the viral characteristics. It's got music, there's shock, there's cuteness with the kids, there's some boobs in there, there's humor, and this is parody. So this is what I meant when I was talking about parody being the most effective form of humor on YouTube. This video was made by a YouTube channel called Barely Political that was actually acquired by YouTube sometime last year. And these guys are basically the kings of parody on YouTube now. They are extremely good at what they do, as you can see. And basically what they found is this amazing formula where, you know, they'll take songs that are popular, top 40 songs that are popular at the time, and they create these amazing parodies of them where they'll recreate the music video pretty closely, but put it in a different context to make it absurd and make it humorous. And a lot of times they're not even necessarily sending a very strong, you know, political message. They're just using the context and the fact that this is something, these are videos, the original videos are something that everyone's seen, and just, you know, reconfiguring them to make them funny. You can see here the way that we did that. Mark Douglas, the guy who's in the video, you know, he comes on screen out of character and demos the product. And they, you know, linked to the app in the description and everything. And we still, you know, get lots of downloads off of this video even today, even, you know, more than a year and a half later. All right, so we've talked about viral videos and the different, you know, viral building blocks. What I wanted to talk about now was just some sort of, you know, really practical video production tips. To do really high quality videos, and I would consider, you know, of all the videos that we've seen, I think the one at the end with Barely Political, that's a really high quality video. That's something that, you know, that's something that I'm not going to say, you know, that you're going to go back tomorrow and be able to create, put together a video like that. It takes some experience. You know, it takes a crew, you know, a crew of three or four people. You need actors, you need a cameraman, you need someone to edit. And so that definitely takes some resources, and that's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world to do. But to make a medium quality video is really accessible nowadays. We all have access. You know, if you can pay $1,000 for a ticket to come to South by Southwest, you can afford the tools that you need to be able to make really good videos. First thing, as I said, is your own creativity. This is the number one thing. You can spend $0. You know, you've got your iPhone, you know, you've got video editing software on your computer that comes from, by default. Use your creativity. That's your number one asset. The second thing is, it does help to have a pretty good camera. Canon DSLR, you can buy you know, a basic version of a Canon DSLR camera with a good lens for less than $1,000. It's an investment worth making, because that's an investment you're going to make one time, and you can make an unlimited number of videos off of that. Those cameras are amazing, and they really do make a difference in the quality of your video. I already mentioned video editing software. If you have a Mac, you have some version of iMovie on it, use it. It's really, really powerful. You can do almost anything that, you know, unless you're really getting down into the details of editing, you can do almost anything in iMovie, and it's really easy to learn and really easy to use. The fourth thing is sunlight. So most important thing in making a video look good is the lighting. And, you know, most of us obviously aren't going to have fancy studio lighting sitting around in our houses or our offices, but we all have sunlight. And in my experience, sunlight actually works better than most studio lighting, unless you really know what you're doing. So just pay attention to the lighting. You know, go out and film your video when the lighting's good, and use nature's filming light. And the final thing is music apps. And I don't mean this in a self-promotional way at all. There are lots of music apps out there that will allow you to put music in your videos. And you know, as I mentioned, as we've seen, music really makes videos more engaging. And you know, maybe you're not a music producer yourself. Maybe you don't know, you know, how to use music production software. That's okay. Use apps. That's what they're for. Music apps are there to make music creation more accessible to you. So use those apps to get some fun music and put that into your videos. So final tips. One thing that I wanted to mention is the importance of thumbnails. It's, you know, the thumbnail for any sort of SEO that you, you know, views that you get from YouTube. You know, if YouTube, if your video's kind of starting to grow, they might feature you on the home page. At that point, your thumbnail becomes extremely important. So pay attention to that. So YouTube will automatically pick thumbnails. They'll give you an option of 3 to 4 thumbnails that, based on, you know, some algorithm that they have that chooses them from certain parts in the video. There's a way that you can control that, basically. If you just Google, you know, how to choose your own YouTube thumbnail, you'll find a way in which you can kind of position a certain picture into a certain, at a very specific point in your video, and it'll show up as your thumbnail. So make sure you pay attention to your thumbnail and make it something that's, you know, really eye-catching, that once you start getting the virality and the SEO marketing, you know, the SEO happening on YouTube, that you're making the most of that, and people are clicking on the video on your thumbnail when they see it. The second point is timing and pacing are really important in a video. And this might seem obvious, but when you start to film your video and start to edit it, it's easy to forget about that. So make sure that your video is engaging from the very beginning, and that it you know, people understand why they're there and they stay there. As I'm sure you know, it's hard to keep people's attention for even 10 seconds nowadays. So you want to make sure that 10 seconds into your video, you've got them hooked and you're saying something interesting. The third point, this is something that I touched on earlier. Use current events. It's a really effective strategy for making a video that grabs people's attention. If you have, you know, if you're doing a parody, or if you have a certain, you know, way of tying into something that just happened a few days ago. Maybe it's a news event. Maybe it's another viral video. Maybe it's a popular song. This is a great way to get people's attention. Seeding views. So what I mean by this is, you know, you can make the most amazingly viral video in the world, but if you just put it up on YouTube, and you know, you don't send it out anywhere yourself, it might not go viral at all. It might be, you know, it might deserve to go viral, but it's just going to sit there because you didn't get it going. So it's really important to, you know, no matter how amazing your video is, to seed the initial views with something. If you have, you know, 1,000 friends on Facebook, if you have a few thousand Twitter followers, if you can get PR, if you can get one blog to pick it up and post the video, if you have an email list of a few thousand people, send it out and get it going. That initial seed of views is going to be really important to get it going. And once it starts going, then it'll start, you know, as I mentioned, YouTube might feature it. You're going to start showing up in search results on YouTube. You're going to get linked to from other blogs and other people with big Twitter accounts. But make sure that you don't just put it up and hope that it'll grow. Make sure to get it out there. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Just a few thousand people is enough to get that initial seed. And the final point that I wanted to make with respect, you know, to video production and kind of how to create viral videos and how to get your videos out there is the concept of collaboration on YouTube. This is something that is used very prevalently amongst YouTubers. And it's really simple. It's, you know, you find other people who are doing videos on YouTube, and maybe they have a little bit of a following, or maybe they have a certain talent that you don't have, or maybe they, you know, they have a camera and a nice lens that you don't have. Work with them. Find a way, you know, find something that you can bring to them, and do a video together. and it'll make it a lot easier to get your video out there. And as you can see with a lot of the videos that I showed you, I use this extensively for ours. So I just wanted to close with a reflection on the power of YouTube. Many of you have probably heard about this video in the past few days. It's called Kony 2012, and it's a documentary that went viral. It's a 30-minute video, 30-minute documentary about a nonprofit organization called Stop Kony, which is about the Ugandan war criminal Joseph Kony. And it basically tries to shed light on the atrocities that have been committed in the Congo over the past several years. What's striking about this video, obviously the fact that it went viral, as of this morning it had over 60 million views, and it's been up for less than 5 days. So the fact that a 30-minute documentary about a nonprofit organization could go viral on YouTube in and of itself is striking. But the thing that I think, I found especially exciting about this is an issue that many nonprofits have been trying to raise awareness of for almost a decade. And this one video has done more to raise awareness about this issue in 5 days than they were able to do over a decade. So to me, this really speaks to the power of YouTube and the amazing impact that any one of us can have if we, use our creativity and use some of these tools that are available to us. And the final thing that I wanted to say is good luck. And this is important because, you can do all of these things right, and you're probably still going to need a bit of luck to make it all work. So don't forget that, and don't get discouraged if your first video doesn't go viral. Just keep at it, and it'll work out eventually. All right, I think we have some time for questions. Oh, we've got 7 minutes. I'm supposed to tell you to use the mic for questions. So, yeah, if you guys will.
Hi, thanks. That was great. So a question. You use the crazy cat lady very effectively. If you, and parody's protected speech in the 2% I know about the law, but if you start using it for commercial purpose, it's not. So if you're Pepsi or pick people off that banner, Samsung, Microsoft, and you use Debbie's looking for cash now. How did you get around that?
So I think it. You're right, and it depends. So two important points here. The fact that, parody is protected speech unless you're using it for commercial purposes, that opens up a lot. So that allows people like Barely Political, for example, to use popular songs and parody them. I think every YouTuber kind of deals with the problem once they start monetizing it in different ways. For us, in that case, we weren't the producers of the video directly. It was the Gregory brothers. So they generally, I think, work it out with the person that they're parodying. Sometimes they do a revenue share on their ad revenues that they get. We have thus far never actually had to kind of deal with that. So I think there's a layer of separation there, and it's the when we're working with a YouTube producer, they kind of figure it out. If you're doing it yourself and this comes up, in general, I think it's just you take it on a case-by-case basis, right? Most of the people that you're going to be parodying, if they're really big celebrities, and again, I'm not giving you legal advice, but if they're really big celebrities, I think most of them are starting to realize that when you're doing a parody, you're kind of increasing their celebrity. So in my experience, the vast majority of the major guys aren't going to really come after you for doing a parody on YouTube. And if it's someone relatively unknown, like the cat lady, you can generally, she might contact you or you might contact her and just work something out. If you're making ad revenues from the video, maybe you can share those revenues with her. But it's generally not a big problem.
Cool. Hi, that was a really good talk, by the way. Just in reference to that, in terms of service on YouTube, parody videos are protected. I don't know if just a random thing for people to know about. I'm looking to jump my YouTube channel up to sort of like the next level. I average about 150,000 views per video, and I'm looking to jump. And of course, collaborations definitely seems like the way to go about it. How did you get the guys to collaborate with you? Did you spend money to get them to go across with it, or...?
It depends. So on some of the videos, it was just a straight collaboration. The number one way in which I got them to collaborate is I was persistent. Like I said, I spent a lot of time, stalking YouTube celebrities, essentially, and I emailed a lot of people, and for some of them, they responded, and I think there was just a good match between their demographic and what they were looking to do and what I could offer with our apps. Mishka is a great example of that. But for some of them, for example, Barely Political, some of the guys were a little bit bigger, we did offer to sponsor the video. The sponsorships were not very big. They were usually just a couple of $1,000s, but that being said, that was a different time. The YouTube space has matured, and the prices have become more have grown. But I would say that you can still find the key thing is to figure out what you can offer them. There's generally something that you can offer them that will make their next video be bigger than it was than their previous videos.
Hi, thanks a lot. Can you talk a little bit about how you seed and promote the videos to get the views?
Yeah, so that's, thanks for asking about that. I think this is a really important point. As I said, I mean, if you have a small email list of some sort or Twitter followers or friends with, a few thousand Twitter followers, or maybe not even friends, but, just someone that who has, let's say, 10,000 Twitter followers who you think might be interested in the video, reach out to them, email them a link to the video, and see if they'll tweet it out. I think that's kind of a really easy, low cost, low barrier thing to do. The other thing is try and get see if you can get PR for the video. A lot of tech blogs or, publications, different types of blogs will link to funny videos because their viewers like to see them, and it gives them it's a really easy post for them to make. And that is if you can get you just need one. Like medium-sized tech blog to pick it up, and that'll give you the kind of burst that you need. So I would say those are the two main things. See if you can find people with Twitter followers. Obviously, if you have your own email list, that's great, but most of us don't have that. See if you can find people with Twitter followers, or see if you can get a blog to pick it up. All right, I think that's it.